The former US President George W. Bush has his memoirs out, and he argued in a TV interview this week that the practice of waterboarding, condemned by many as torture, was legal. He went on to say that America's waterboarding of terror suspects was legal because the lawyers said so. He was referring to the so-called torture memos written by Bush administration lawyers John Yoo and Jay Bybee, which gave the legal go-ahead for a number of practices which had previously been classified as torture. Juan Mendez is the new United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture. He's the first person in that position to have been tortured himself with electric shocks by officers of the then Argentine junta in the mid-70s. On the line from Warsaw, I asked Juan Mendez about George Bush's insistence that waterboarding was legal.
Mr. Bush hides behind the fact that he is not a lawyer, and he has this folksy, you know, kind of cute way of saying, well, the lawyers told me it was legal, as if he didn't know that it's immoral, you know, immoral and illegal. I mean, he can't really hide behind his lawyers. I mean, it was very hypocritical of him to say something like that. I mean, it's been so clearly established that those memos don't even deserve the name of legal memos, because they are completely flawed from the legal reasoning, but even worse, they are morally flawed as well.
And there's no question that in international law, waterboarding is torture.
I don't think there is any question, any serious question. I mean, it's a question of severity. If you think that waterboarding is not severe mistreatment, you don't really know what waterboarding is. But you know, if it just with the definition that it's designed to create a sensation of asphyxia, you can tell that it's severe. There's just no other way. I mean, if you then redefine upwards the severity standard to say that it's only severe if it's organ failure or death, then, you know, you're really very clearly distorting the sense of the words. And you know, words have to be interpreted in treaty language. They have to be interpreted in their plain meaning. And the plain meaning couldn't be more clear in the case of waterboarding.
How about some other things that the administration, the Bush administration lawyers said the CIA could do along with waterboarding? Depriving the prisoner of sleep for more than 7 days straight, physically slamming him into a wall, cramming him into a small box, placing him in stress positions to increase discomfort, and dousing him with cold water. How about those things?
Well, here the disingenuous argument is that, you know, each one of those, depending on the circumstances, could be either cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment, or if it's more severe, it's clearly torture. But what they don't say is the accumulation of all of them in the single individual is clearly torture. I would rather, you know, follow the rulings of the European Court of Human Rights that said, you know, any violence against a detainee that is not motivated by his own conduct is clearly prohibited. And by the way, cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment is prohibited. The memo tends to say, well, you won't be prosecuted, but it doesn't clearly say, but you're violating the law anyway.
You know, there was this TV series called 24, in which repeatedly there were scenarios where a catastrophic situation could only be averted with torture.
Right.
Do you think that that had an effect on the public mind, and what effect do you think it had?
I'm afraid it has. I mean, I have only anecdotal evidence, but from time to time I talk to people who say, well, but what if, you know, like in 24, you know, the only way to stop a bomb attack is to do this and that. And people start, you know, if they don't think about it, I suppose, simplistically, they feel that there must be something to it. What's really, you know, difficult to accept is that, first of all, if it really were a case like that, if someone violates the law because he, in good faith, believes he is avoiding a larger wrong, then that defense, you know, is a mitigating factor, and you know, in appropriate circumstances, may even be a complete defense. But you have to allow it to happen in this specific case. The Israeli Supreme Court, in a very celebrated decision, said that all of that may be possible in a single case, but it can't ever justify an administrative policy of torturing everybody. And that's what people lose sight of. The ticking bomb scenario is never the reason, it's almost never the reason why people torture. I mean, the people torture, because they have to torture a great number of people, whether innocent or guilty, to see if they get any kind of information. And once you get into that kind of routine of torturing every detainee, then the ticking bomb scenario has nothing to do with what the real reason why you torture.
Is torture a war crime?
Well, it can be, depending on the situation in which it happens. I mean, it's a war crime if it's in a battlefield scenario, if the enemy soldier is arrested, and instead of just allowing him to say name and serial number, as it were, you try to interrogate him under torture, then of course it's a war crime. But in other circumstances, in law enforcement circumstances, it's an international crime. Whether it's a war crime or crime against humanity, it doesn't matter. The single act of torture is an international crime.
So where does that leave Dick Cheney and George Bush?
Well, I think they're left with the obligation of the United States government to investigate, to the best of its capabilities, and then to decide who is to be prosecuted and who is not. I mean, I don't have, access to the evidence to know that any individual is particularly responsible. But what I do know, and I think, and I'm disappointing about, is that even under the Obama administration, the government of the United States is not seriously pursuing these episodes. I mean, with a false sense of not being partisan, etc., it looks like they have put a stop to torture. At least I keep my fingers crossed that I'm not wrong. But there's no evidence that they're actually pursuing this the way they should, the way they are obliged by international law to do.
So if the United States does nothing, can anybody else do anything?
That's a real, problem, in the sense that the bad example that is thus, presented to many other nations has a possibility of being generalized. How are we going to tell a small country that it has the obligation to investigate, prosecute, and punish torture, when states with all the wherewithal and all the ability and all the human resources and intelligence and skill to do this decide not to do it? But on the other hand, the international standard is very clear, and it's up to us who represent the international community on these issues to continue insisting. No country is exempt from this obligation.
That's Juan Mendez, the new United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture. You can hear a longer version of that interview on our website from this evening, in which he talks about his own experiences as well, being tortured in Argentina in the 70s, among other things. Also on our website is a column that I've written on the subject of torture this week.